Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Topics in Endurance Sports. I'm your host, Tim. Today is February 16th, 2017. It's a Thursday. Happy 2 days after Valentine's Day to my wife and my daughter and my mom and everybody else out there. Thanks also to Andrew Folkin for the music. You can find his music on SoundCloud under N-E-K-L-O-F. Andrew is my new nephew. He is new because he married my niece. So welcome to the family, Andrew. You can find more about me at runsmith.net. Runsmith.net. You can find my email, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and also about my running coaching services. So check that out. There will also be show notes and any links related to the show and maybe some pictures or something like that on the website. There are two topics for today, two main topics. The first is the David's Trail Endurance Run, which I recently did. And secondly, a little bit about my training plan for Western States. I talked a little bit about Western States in the first episode, and I'll reintroduce that here and talk a little bit about my training plan. First, a little bit from last time. Thanks to the, I think, 4 people who listened to the show. And I guess a couple of you thought I sounded funny, and at least one of you thought I looked funny. When I say looked, that is because this show is also on YouTube as a video, and there's nothing on the video that is not in the podcast. The YouTube video is just for people who don't do podcasts, and it's easier for them just to click on YouTube. I am having troubles with this. If there is an iMovie expert, let me know. I keep getting dropped frames, and it worked for the first episode, but now it's not working. This is actually take number 5 because I keep dropping frames on iMovie, then iMovie aborts. And this time I'm just going to let it go. I'm not going to worry about it. But if there are any iMovie experts who understand why this keeps happening, let me know, because I don't understand what's going on with that. And it just stops the video. So, anyway, yes, I know I look funny on the video. I do know where the camera is, but I'm not looking at the camera. I'm looking at my notes on the computer, or sometimes I'm just thinking, and then my eyes wander around in weird places. So a couple other things. One thing from last time, I forgot to mention a couple of podcasts. I had listed other endurance podcasts that I listened to, and I forgot a couple. So one is called Ginger Runner Live. And it actually is unique in that it's first a YouTube show. Speaking of YouTube, on Monday nights, you can watch it live, the Ginger Runner Live YouTube show. So you can watch it live. It's hosted by Ethan Newberry, and he's in Los Angeles, I think. I've actually never watched it because he's so far on the West Coast there that by the time he starts it, I'm just about going to bed. So I'm just too old to stay up. But then after he makes the YouTube live show, later he puts it out as a podcast. So that's when I listen to it. And he interviews, again, he's kind of a typical show in that he interviews a lot of elite runners on the show, stuff like that. But you can watch it live on Monday nights. Also, I fumbled a little bit with a podcast called Trail Runner Nation. The host for that one is Don Freeman and Scott Warr. They often have Sally McCray and Andy Jones Wilkins on the podcast. And it's similar to Ultra Running Podcasts. So this one's called Trail Runner Nation. And both of them will interview elites and not always elites and have other topics for their shows. They're pretty good if you're an ultra runner. And again, there's a whole bunch of endurance podcasts. I've even come across some more because I was just kind of specifically thinking about this. So for example, there's one called 10 Junk Miles. It's growing in popularity, I think. Some Midwestern people do it. I think the ringleader is Scott Coomer. And I listened to one show because they interviewed a friend of mine, Bonnie Bush, who's from my hometown of Davenport, Iowa, or from that area. And she's a great person, a lot of fun, and a very accomplished runner, including just recently finishing the Arrowhead 135-mile race in northern Minnesota. Yes, in the dead of winter. It's a real tough accomplishment to finish that race. I found another podcast called Run Iowa. I had no idea this existed. It's hosted by a couple of guys, and I can't remember their names, but it's about running in Iowa, I guess, and that's my home state. So I listened to one of their episodes. They interviewed Scott Gall, who's another friend of mine. He's from Cedar Falls, Iowa, or in Cedar Falls, Iowa, and he's an extremely accomplished runner, as well as a snowshoe national champion. It would be interesting to talk to him about snowshoeing sometime, I think. Anyway, if you have some favorites, feel free to send them along, especially if they're not to do with running or ultra running. I'm really, my podcasts are too heavy into that, and I am looking for some other types, but those are the only good endurance podcasts I'm finding so far. One last thing from last episode, I told the what I thought was semi-amusing story about my visit to a running store. I may have sounded critical about the sales guy there. I didn't mean to. It was more making fun of myself. I'm just weird about salespeople, and I always interact with them strangely, and it's like my strange thing I have. He was perfectly normal and doing the proper thing, and the running store that I visited was great. I will continue to go. So it was more about me. I guess I was just wondering if anyone else is kind of like me with salespeople. Okay, let's get on to the main topics of this show. The first one is the David's Trail Endurance Run. I ran this on January 21st. I'm a little behind here, and I'll get to why that is in a bit. So this race is, the fact I did it is unique for two reasons. Number one, it is not near me. That is rare. And number two, I took my daughter. And this is the first time I've ever taken my daughter to one of my trail races. I think it's the only the second race she's ever seen. She once saw me do a triathlon, but I think this is the only second time she's been to one of my races. I did direct a race for 4 years, and she volunteered for those, so she has seen those at least. So like I said, it wasn't close to me either, so I drove 8 hours to pick her up, and then we drove, and that's in Iowa City, Iowa, then we drove straight south to Mountain Home, Arkansas, about another 8 hours. So the point of this was not just for me to do a run, but to kind of have a dad-daughter weekend vacation, which we had not done in a long time. So I thought, that'd be kind of fun, just an excuse for me to hang out with my daughter for the weekend. So the race itself has three different distances, 7K, 25K, 50K, and the course is shaped like an upside-down lollipop. So, and you start right where the stem meets the candy. So first you run a loop to the south that's a 7K loop. And that's one of the races you could have done. And if you're doing the 25K or 50K, after you do the 7K loop, you run north, out, and back. So obviously the 25K people don't go as far north as the 50K people. I did do the 50K. And the race itself was almost all on dirt trail. There's some, you know, road, and there's one bridge you run over. But most of it's on dirt trail. It's not super rooty and rocky in most places. There is a 10-mile section we'll get to that is pretty hairy, pretty difficult. And it did have some like steep uphills and downhills with rocks. But it wasn't horrible. I've done worse races as far as rocks and roots and stuff. Pretty hilly. I got my watch said I got 3,950 feet of gain, which means I went up that much and I came down that much overall. And the website said 5,000 feet. So I don't know which is more accurate right now, me or the website. Pretty big difference there. My watch said I ran 32.99 miles. Let's just call that 33. And obviously that is more than a 50K. A 50K is 31 miles. So for those of you who don't do trail races, this is not uncommon. If you run a 50K, it's going to be 50K plus or minus 5K or something. You know, it's often not that close. I did get confused at one point, and I probably ran about an extra 0.4 miles. So really, my watch should have said 32.6 miles, which would be about 1.6 miles extra. Again, that doesn't, my watch is not necessarily accurate either, so it's just what my watch said. The day was beautifully warm, absolutely fantastic. It was in the 50s and 60s, really nice to get in some nice warmth here in the winter, even though we've had a warm winter anyway, but that was really, really nice. the trail was not too muddy or anything like that. You know, a few little wet spots, but really not bad. So it's really great running weather and great running conditions. The winner did it in 5:13:35. That's Chad Payne. Congratulations. The first woman was in 6:29:02. Kristen Wiegand. Congratulations. My time was 8:05:02. So as you can see, I was nearly 3 hours slower than the finisher. I'm sorry, 3 hours slower than the winner. I was, okay, quite a bit slower. I was 25th of 47 starters, so that's on the back half, just barely on the back half, which is typical for me. I was second out of 6 in my age group, the 51 to 65-year-old age group. That's really good for me. I'm rarely that high. Sometimes I'm 5th out of 6, so that was good for me. You'll notice all these times are pretty slow. 5:13 for a winning time for a 50K is not super fast. My time of 8:05 is one of my slowest 50K times, if not the slowest, I'm not sure. And that's just a testament to some of the harder parts. I mean, it was some pretty steep up and downs, and we'll get to this 10-mile section that was really, really slow, very difficult to get any speed for 10 miles, and that's a third of the race right there. And then it was, you know, like I said, a little bit long. There was an aid station at the 7K point because that was where you get back. You do the little circle back to the start. There's an aid station there, two of them on the way out to the turnaround, one at the turnaround, and then you hit those two on the way back. So five more on the out and back. Plenty of aid stations. They had everything I needed. I can't remember exactly what they had, but they had sport drink. And they weren't all the same, but they had sport drink, and at least one had peanut butter and jelly, which is my favorite. I think one had some gels, and they had potato chips and cookies and stuff like that. The finish line had pizza, free beer, and a band. So most races probably don't have free beer, so that was good. The band, I think, was on a break right when I got back, but that was nice. The medal was completely unique. So instead of a lanyard with a medal hanging off it, it was a lanyard with a little a fabric circle, and in the fabric circle it held a cup. You got a pint mug that was made out of steel, and it was pretty neat. A little finisher so you can use the cup to drink whatever you like. So that was kind of unique. So maybe I'll put a picture of that on the website. Let's see. That's about it for just kind of going over the course. Now here's the funny thing is, iMovie just died. So I'm going to go to iMovie. Import was aborted due to drop frames. So if anyone understands what that means, and I just started it back up, so now I'm going to have to try to figure that out. If anybody knows what's going on with that, let me know. Anyway, so in the first podcast, I said, I probably won't really be doing interviews because it just seemed complicated, and I get very socially anxious talking to people one-on-one like that. But I wanted to I asked some questions to the race director of David's Trail Endurance Run, and his response was, hey, let's do it by phone. So I've spent 2 weeks trying to figure out how to do this, and that's one reason this podcast is delayed, trying to figure out how to do it. But big thanks to Paul Giuliotti, who I am going to interview here, who actually gave me all types of ideas how to do this. So we ended up figuring it out eventually, and I think the sound is pretty okay. That's another reason I tend not to like interviews. It's because often the sound is so bad. I think it's okay. So we are going to listen to my interview of the he's the one of the two race directors. He and Jake Anderson are race directors, and we're going to listen to an interview I did with Paul Giuliotti. I'm here with Paul Giuliotti. Are you originally from Mountain Home?
I'm not. I'm a born and raised Detroiter. And I moved from Detroit to Colorado. I'm a snowboarder by trade. And as long story short, I met my now wife on a ski hill. And now I live in Mountain Home, Arkansas. I've lived here for 11 years.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. We'll get back to that in a moment. So I have a kind of a list of questions, and I will have already told the people listening, you know, about the race and about my race in particular, so they'll know something about it. But I did have some questions. So the name of the race is David's Trail Endurance Run. Who is David, or was David?
Right. Well, so yeah, it is, was David. David Floyd is his name, and he's from here originally. And he passed away about 10 years ago. He was a very active runner, outdoor enthusiast, etc. And he worked for, well, it's right now it's a financial Wells Fargo Advisors. And anyway, he actually passed away mid-run. He had a heart attack and fell over and died. I've never met him. That was before I think I moved here. Anyway, and so knowing that he had all, and he left kind of this trust and money to, what they've done is they put in the Davis Trail system, the trail system. And right now it started off here in Mountain Home and it just went a couple miles. And the idea is with the race and in general is to expand that trail well north into Missouri and then well south and tie into the Ozark Highlands Trail. And so to kind of, and it'll end up being a good solid 30 miles, I think, by the time it's said and done, if not more. I don't get into that aspect of it too much. I like putting on the races. And so I'm happy to help out kind of thing.
Well, that's very cool. So he must be a pretty good guy. I mean, not many people are going to have a race named after them. So that right. is nice.
Well, the trail. And I was commissioned, so I put on I've been here for a while. I put on the White River Marathon for Kenya, it's called. And that's over in Cotter, Arkansas, which is just a few towns away. And I've been pretty successful with that. I inherited that race. This will be its 14th year. I inherited it in year 10. And from that the fellow who oversees the David's Trail Trust and Foundation, he approached me and said, hey, we've tried to do a few small races out here, and they haven't had much success, but you seem to know what you're doing. Would you take a stab at doing a race out here? And that was about 2 years ago, and I said, sure. I love trail running. And so we put it on for the first time last year, which was January of 2016, and I had a pretty good success with it. I think we had 149 registered altogether, which was pretty cool for the first year. And we think 8 states were represented. And this year we had a lot of positive just feedback and everything from last year. It went very well. The runners had a good time. It's a cool trail. It's different. We use the resort as kind of our home base. So we did it again this year, of course, because the idea is to keep going with it. And we had 249 runners this time. 250 some registered if you didn't show up, of course. And so we increased significantly in our numbers, and which made us look at how our setup is and our trail and where we run and when we run and course congestion and things like that. So there's always a learning curve no matter what you're doing. We'll change it every year until we get it exactly right. We probably never will get it exactly right.
Yeah, well, from my point of view, it was really good. The trail definitely wasn't too crowded or anything, so you could, yeah, maybe on that first 7K loop. Yeah. There was that one out and back that was a little crowded, but yeah, it was short, so not a big deal.
Well, that's about it too. And of course, we did a Survey Monkey after the race, and we hear all kinds of feedback. And most people had, oh, yeah, it was great, and that was the end of it.
Yeah,
they're
yeah,
happy.
Yeah.
It was a good run.
Absolutely.
And so, and then you hear both sides of it too. And so maybe if we do get bigger, we staggered this year our starts. So last year, everybody started at 8 a.m. And this year we staggered the 7K. They started later to keep some of that congestion off the course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So maybe next year we even stagger it one further, which each race maybe an hour apart, or we do go in the north direction first and then come back and run that south side. We'll see.
Yeah. So what was a little on your background? Are you – now I can't remember. We were talking a little bit about your background, if the mic was on at the time or not. So what's your personal background with – endurance sports and stuff?
You know, I'll show my age here. I'm 38 right now. And I didn't start running until I was 33. And it was a young boy out here. I have a nephew who's in eighth grade right now. And at the time, he needed a soccer coach. And this was years and years ago. And so I was, of course, wrangled in to be, Uncle Paul's going to be a soccer coach. There was a little dude that played on his team, and he was a cool kid. He was kind of always the rambunctious one of the group. Well, fast forward a few years, and that rambunctious kid came out with, it was some kind of severe, it was like a brain tumor kind of thing, and it was like acting quick, and the kid didn't have much to go. And his mom was a school teacher, and my wife's a school teacher, so it was a lot of different connections. Plus, it's a small town, right? And so they did a 5K. fundraiser 5K for him. And my wife says, oh, I signed us up for that 5K. I was like, you did? I said, you're going to run a 5K? She goes, well, no, we'll just push the baby in the stroller. I'm like, okay. I had never run any K's. And then I got to thinking, I was like, yeah, I as a man can't enter this running race and push a baby in a stroller. I better figure out how to run. So in about 3 weeks, I figured it out enough to where I finished that 5K. I think it was about 33 minutes was my time. And I just got kind of hooked from there. So my intro to endurance run was simply that. And then I just started running longer and did some half marathons and got into trail running. And through all that, I met Jake, who was my co-director for Davis Trail. And Jake is really into endurance running. He's done the 100 milers, the Arkansas Traveler. And when he goes and enters a race, he enters it to win.
Yeah. Very nice.
He does awesome. So Jake is, I mean, I enjoy myself and I like to, of course, get my personal best every time. And if I can pick off other runners as we go, that's great. But Jake's really into it, which is great. And which makes it a nice compliment for me. I get more into the, I guess, administrative side of putting on the races. A lot of the setup and the web stuff and designing shirts and designing medals and all that kind of thing. And Jake enjoys it too, but Jake loves being out on the trail. And so he does a really great job of marking the course and being kind of our course marshal kind of thing. And this year with all the aid stations out on the course, we kind of split up this year's Davis Trail thing. Obviously you were out running, so you didn't see Jake running around behind the scenes, driving to aid station and checking things. And you didn't see me at the finish line or at the resort where the finish and start line or anything was, kind of handling stuff there. So we've kind of figured out how to complement each other pretty well and put on a pretty good race. We think at least.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So, yeah, that's good. You two, between the two of you, you know what you're doing. So I was just curious, okay. Do you have a day job of any sort?
I do. I have a 9-to-5. I work for a software company here in Mount Home. We sell software applications to school districts. And so what I do is I'm a sales and marketing writer. I write really long contracts and kind of
the race stuff. If they need any chemistry consultants, send them my way because I'm trying to find chemistry consulting gigs. So sometimes there's chemistry software work that people need. Anyway, kind of a joke. Okay. Now, Mountain Home itself, I guess I'd never heard of it, but it sounds like it's a pretty cool little town. I guess maybe kind of a hub of outdoors activity, it seems like. Would that be somewhat accurate?
Yeah, you're pretty close there. You know, Mount Home, it's Mount Home itself, I think, is about 12,500 population. And then kind of the greater area, there's about 25,000 folks. Most people haven't been through it because there isn't an interstate anywhere nearby. And so you usually don't travel through here unless you're purposely coming this way. It's a retirement community for the most part. There's an awful lot of folks, especially if you just come straight down from Michigan, Chicago, Minnesota, that kind of thing. And folks just come straight down here and retire because it's similar weather, but a lot less winter. And but with that, we have Lake North Fork, which you've seen when you run the race, and Bull Shoals Lake, which is slightly west of us. And it's a huge mecca for fishing. All kind of, in summertime, the population like doubles around here because it's a lot of touristy kind of stuff, which is cool. So the fishing and boating, anything you want to do in the lake, of course. And there's quite a bit of trail system around here outside of the Davis Trail that gets a lot of folks. When geocaching kind of first got real popular 4 or 5 years ago, there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on. So there's a lot of trails. There's a lot of history around here. A lot of trails take you to historical sites. Both there's a lot of Indian-related things you can go see down here. And then a lot of the old settlement kind of stuff. And then we're not far from the Buffalo National River, which is, if I'm correct, the first national river, not a national park so much, but kind of like a national forest. It's 120 miles long, and that's southwest of us a little bit. And that gets an awful lot of attention for folks, too. So you got kayakers, and fishermen, and canoers, and your weekend warrior drinking on the river kind of people, too. So.
Yeah, all this was really, really evident. I was, like, searching, because I took my daughter down to the race, and it was kind of searching, you know, what else we can do. And, yeah, you could see it was a lot of fishing, a lot of lake and river activities. So definitely a nice area. The trail itself, like you said, it's being extended. And it was really obvious. I think it was obvious where kind of the old trail was and this new trail began. In fact, the new trail almost had the feel like they made it, you know, 2 weeks before the race. I'm sure that's not true, but it's like a little tiny bulldozer just came through and just like zzzz, everything through, which is kind of interesting. And then I had the rope climb in the middle of it, which I love, actually. I love a rope climb in a race because it just breaks things up. And then the trail, you go way out, do the 50K, you go way out, and then you come back on this same kind of new part. So I'm assuming at the turnaround of the 50K, that trail is going to just keep going. Is that the future?
Yeah, so you're dead on. It wasn't 2 weeks ago, but it wasn't that long ago that trail was made. It was last winter, and they found some contractors that do construction work, and of course the winter time. So they contracted these guys in their off time, more or less, to blaze this trail. And we've been beating it down all spring, and not much in the summer. There's a lot of bugs out there. I kind of stay away from the summer, but all fall. And so it does. It goes. It's, and you probably could tell exactly where the old part ended and the new part began. Because it goes about that 5 miles. That was that hairy part.
That was really, really tough. So it's 5 miles. You're right. It's 5 miles out to the 50K turnaround, 5 miles back. So 10 miles. That was hard. And part of it because the camber of the trail is rather steep. And luckily it was pretty dry, which, man, if it was muddy, that would have been another story. But the camber is still kind of steep, and just the ups and downs were steep. And it was a real workout for those 10 miles right in the middle. But it was really great to be done with that, kind of got through that. I'm like, yes.
Right.
It's like the home stretch.
Well, that 3 miles before you get into it, then, of course, when you get back, is real nice, gently rolling trail, and it's super wide, and there's not much even rocks in the way and stuff. And then you get to that part with hair. That'll put hair in your chest.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've talked to them about not only extending the trail, or we're going to talk to them, but maybe instead of extending it this year, that they go back through, like that part that you talked about, the big camber and everything, and give it a once over again before they worry about going further, maybe more of a quality over quantity.
Kind yeah.
Of trail does now, and I've never even been on it myself, but past that turnaround, it does go out another couple miles.
Yeah.
I've stood there at the trailhead and looked at it and thought, man, that's woolly.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's even that 5 mile section, just a group of volunteers with the, you know, the trail maintenance handbook type of thing it would take a while, you know, it might take a whole summer, but just get out there with your hose and you can fix that up. And it wasn't horrible. Just, it needs to be graded a little better, but it was still good. It made for a good workout. So you've done the race for 2 years. I'm assuming it's felt like a pretty good success. I don't think you need to do anything different whatsoever, but is anything kind of new and different going to be happening in the future with the race? Or are you just going to kind of keep tweaking it, making it better?
I think we'll just kind of keep tweaking it. You know, we might do maybe not next year, but the year after, maybe it's the 50 miler.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
In addition to that. You know, kind of the idea when we were approached, when I was approached to do this, so we went to make use of every bit of the trail. Okay. And so at some point we'll see what that really means. As a race director, of course, it's kind of nice to have everybody back in at the end of the day. We do a 50 mile day of folks out there for 12 hours and it makes it a little bit longer. So there's just that kind of thing to debate. I don't know. It went very smooth for the most part. But I think before we even worry about extending it, there's just, again, those things you learn that you want to do differently and do better.
Yeah.
And implement some of those changes. And a lot of it's nothing major. We like the way it went very smooth. And almost everybody's feedback was positive, of course, like anything else. You get a few folks that are just negative Nancy's and at the end of it.
Yeah.
We had a great time doing that. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know.
We have some other.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, see, we have some other things planned for the future, too, not just on David's Trail, but.
Oh, what else do you have? Mountain. What else do you have planned?
Okay, so David's Trail was put on by, well, it's me, and then I have Jake. I asked him to be my co-director for it.
Right.
How good he is. And so, which all started off then a while back. So technically, I have my own event management company. It's PirateParryEvents.com, and which started off with really just David's Trail and White River. And then I put on a 5K to benefit the Humane Society because my daughter asked me to. You call it Jog With Your Dog. going to keep rolling with that. Jake and I were approached. So this past year in 2016 was the centennial for the National Park Service. And all the parks got money from the federal government. And I'm sure Yellowstone got a lot more than the Buffalo River thing. But it was to do something to celebrate this 100 years. And I think a lot of the parks did things like music festivals. And the Buffalo National River one did a biathlon, which was a 6-mile trail run to where your kayaks are. And then you took the river and your kayaks back down 4 miles. And they had a pretty good success with it. I think they had about 120, 125 sign up. But they don't have a straight budget for it anymore. No one's handing them $10,000 and saying, here, we need to put on an event. But they want to keep it going because it was successful and got a lot of more attention in the area. So, of course, I stuck my nose in it in the first place. And long story short, that's now a Pirate Perry event moving forward. So we're going to put that on. It's for April of 2018. It was just this past fall of 2016, trying to space out my own events, what I got going on. So we spaced that out. Jake put on a 12 and a 34 miler in Norfolk, Arkansas, which is about half an hour south of here. And that was the Ozark Highlands Endurance Run. And he had a decent little success with that. Maybe we need to make that a Pirate Perry one too. And so I think we'll go in together on that and build that up. And we had kind of the same sort of format. You know, we had a resort off by the river, and it was a lot different than where you were, but it was same kind of thing with everybody there. We had some music, we had some beers. Everybody had a kind of cool day out of it. Then, of course, being where we are, that we're not on the way to anything. Anything we do out this way kind of needs to be a destination race of sorts. And we're in a really great area. We look about 3 to 5 hours circumference from us. And you've got Memphis, and you've got St. Louis, Kansas City, Tulsa, Northwest Arkansas, Little Rock, back around. So you have all these kind of cool places that aren't that far. If you're going to go to a race, 3-4 hours isn't really a big deal if you stay the night and go on the next day. So I think we kind of found our niche here. We're going to keep rolling with it.
Yeah, that's a good point, being near all those places. I like a place like that. I like to kind of be near. I'd like to not be in a gigantic big city, but to be near them so you can go there. So that's pretty good. What about non-races you don't put on but people should know about in Arkansas or your area? What would you suggest people should be looking at who don't know the area too well?
Right. Very popular in the Sillamore. I think it's the National Forest area. So every year there's two races that happen down there. The Sillamore 50K, 25K. Now that's usually in mid-February. And then later in March, they have 3 days at Sillamore, which is 15K the first day and a 25K the second day and then a 50K the third day. And those have been going on for at least 10 years now. And that Sillamore 25K, 50K, I haven't run it myself because I can't get in, but they have about 400 runners all together and they sell out within about an hour.
Wow.
And they open up registration. Yeah. And they let you buy and sell bibs, so there is kind of that chance if you wanted to go for it. But people love that race. One year I'm going to at least go hang out, I guess, and see what it's all about. But so that's a big one. And then, really, there's not a whole else out around here, which is kind of nice for me as someone that wants to put on more races.
Yeah. Well, where is there's a race, 100-miler, I think, called the Arkansas Traveler. Where is that at?
Yep. That is down take like central Arkansas across, but all the way over to the west, so uh-huh. You're kind of buttoned up near Oklahoma. I believe that goes through the Ouachita Mountains.
Okay.
And that's a big race. That's a very popular race too. That's pretty far from about, well, I say that, but about 5 hours away.
Yeah, so for people who don't know where Mountain Home is, it is very northern Arkansas and eastern, right?
We'll say north.
North. So just above you is Missouri. Is that correct?
Yeah, you can. I mean, literally from my driveway, I can be in Missouri in about 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Close to there. Very north central Arkansas.
Okay.
So, I mean, our local news is out of Springfield, Missouri. That's how close.
Okay. North central Arkansas. All right. Very good. Yeah.
There are some races. Bass Pro Shops, who's world headquarters, I guess it is in Springfield, Missouri. And they own a bunch of land near Branson, Missouri, which is even closer to us. And they do a Dogwood Canyon trail race. I I guess it's not a series, but it's a whole weekend of trail race running. And that's always in the fall too. So that's kind of another popular one in this general area. People might know.
Yeah. And I'm most of these races you're naming are this area is pretty darn hilly. I mean, for someone, if you're from the flatlander type states, these are like almost like mountains. I mean, you're running up and down some pretty serious hills. So it's, Would that generally be correct?
Oh yeah, you know, here in the Ozark, we're in the Ozark, so the Ozark Mountains.
Yeah,
and I live in Colorado, so I still call them hills.
Yeah, I know.
But it's some pretty serious.
That's what I said. If you, I'm from Iowa, so I go to some places and they're like, I did a race in West Virginia, and you know, it's called the Hills. I'm like, these are not hills; these are mountains. And like, no, they're just hills. I'm like, okay, so depends
it's
on where.
Great for us. Guys, because when we go out of town to run races, we don't feel the burn like everybody else does.
Yeah.
It's just what we're used to.
Yeah, I feel the burn, all right, especially those downhills.
Right.
Let's see. So that 3 days of Sillamo, is that how you say it?
Yeah, that's how they say it.
I never exactly know how to say it. Yeah, that has been on my radar for a couple of years. A friend of mine has done it a couple of times, and he says it's pretty darn grueling. In fact, 1 year, this is a guy who's won 100-mile races. He's finished first. And 1 year he did not finish the 3 days of Sillamo. And yeah, I think the other time he did. But it's been on my radar to come down there. So we did kind of go down there. We went to that Blanchard Springs Cavern, the cave. We went down there. That was pretty cool.
Right.
So I think that's kind of where that 3 days of Sillamo is, near there.
General area.
Yeah. All right. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say about, you know, anything to do with the race or anything else before we sign off?
No, I mean, I'm glad everybody had a great time. Of course, I have to give a big shout out to all those that helped. It's great having a co-director to handle all that kind of out and about stuff. But from his point of view and my point of view, there's no way we could do it on our own. I mean, we had a small army of folks that really kind of jump in and help us out and do the timing and do the aid stations and help you out on the course and all the setup and we handle all the food. So, this going public, a big shout out and thank you to all those people.
Absolutely. All right, well, thanks for talking to me, and good luck in the future, and maybe I'll be back down there for your race or for the 3 days of Sillamo or something like that in the area. But I would encourage people who don't think of going to Arkansas for a race to definitely check your race out or, you know, other races in that area, because it's a pretty cool area.
Well, thanks, and I appreciate you coming. I appreciate you doing this. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot, and I will sign off, and thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right, Tim, take care.
All right, bye. Okay, there you go. So, again, thanks to Paul Giuliotti for talking to me. I will put some links, pertinent links, down on the website, the link to David's Trail Endurance Run and to his race directing company, Pirate Perry Events, also to the 3 days of Sillamo. I'm not sure he said it correctly or not, what the distances were. That race is a 50K on Friday, 50 miles on Saturday, and a 20K on Sunday. Just sounds grueling to me to do, because I'm thinking about how stiff you must be when you're starting that 50 mile. And when you start that 20K, okay, that's a relatively short day, but you must just be a complete zombie by then. So it sounds very difficult to do. Also, I'm not sure why I asked him what state was north of Arkansas. I just drove through it, so I know it's Missouri, but I don't know. I asked him anyway. A couple other things. My daughter and I did have a good time down there. As I mentioned, we went to the cave the day after the race. And my daughter and I love caves, so anytime we have a chance to go to a cave, we go to one. It was a cool cave. So if you ever near Blanchard Springs, which is, I think it was like 45 minutes south of the race, go check out the cave there. It's pretty cool. And also, after we went to the cave, we went bowling. Probably the first time in 10 or 20 years we went bowling. Well, it can't be 20 because my daughter's only 21. So 10 years, I don't know, 5 years, whatever, that we went bowling. So that was fun. And right after the race, we went to a little play in town because we like to go to plays as well. And this was a great little place, little tiny little playhouse in Mountain Home. It was a play called Absolutely Murder, and it was just put on by the locals. This is not at all professional, but it was a cute little play, a comedy, and we definitely enjoyed that. So check out their playhouse if you were there. One other thing I forgot to mention, the race, he kind of mentioned it, the race, the Davis Trail Endurance Run is hosted at this little resort area with little cabins, and you can actually stay there if you want. So there were people who stayed in this little cabin, opened the door, walked 20 feet, and they were at the start line. So that's pretty cool. So do that to go to the start, and when you're done with the race, you 20 feet off the start line, and you're in your little cabin. We didn't stay there. We stayed in Mountain Home, which is only a few miles away. So anyway, there you go, Davis Trail Endurance Run. Topic number two for the day is the Western States Endurance Run. I briefly went over this in the last episode, which is a 100-mile race on June 24th. It's about 4 months from now, a little more than 4 months. It's in California in the Sierra Nevada Mountains. It is a serious, serious 100-mile race. Extremely, from my point of view, extremely difficult. Some would not necessarily say that. If you're an elite, yeah, I guess your ideas of difficulty are different. But it's also extremely prestigious. It is definitely the number one race for elites to gather to try to win a 100-mile race. It's very, very prestigious. It's been around a long, long, long time. And it's real hard to get into. I got in through the lottery, and my odds of getting in were something like 2.5%, and I got picked, which is unbelievable that I got in. So I actually got it, and I mentioned this last time, that now I can kind of document my little journey to this race. So that's what I'll be doing the next 4 months, a little bit, just talking about my preparations, and we'll see what happens on race day. But I actually got a question from a listener saying, what's my training plan? So I thought, okay, I'll talk a little bit about my training plan. And thinking about my training plan, putting it into words, I would say there's three levels to the training plan, all right? And I guess I bring this up because I think maybe it'd be useful for other people to think about how they think about their training plan. So there's a level one is very simple, and it is just this: run as much as I can and show up to the start line fresh and not injured. That's it. Just run as much as I can. I cannot run too much. All right. If I do, then I get injured. So just run as much as I can until I reach that point where if I go any more, I'm going to get injured. So for example, there's a 5 mile a little loop I do right outside my house. It's all on streets. It just happens to be 5.0 miles, and it's kind of my base run. I could do nothing ever but do that run over and over and over again. Whenever I feel like, hey, my legs are okay, go out and run that loop and never run anything ever else. For the next 4 months, I could do that. And if I can do that and show up at the race fresh, nothing hurting me, that would be 80% of the battle right there. And I think it's important. I may sound like I'm being a little bit sarcastic, but I think it's important to keep this in mind, because you try to build in more complexity into your workouts sometimes, and then you feel bad because you're not hitting these workouts. You're not doing everything you could be doing. You're not doing all the cross training you could be doing, and then you can start to beat yourself up over it. Well, I'm saying don't do that. If you're getting out and running as much as you can, generally, and you're not hurting yourself, pat yourself in the back. You're doing most of what you need to do. You don't need to make it horribly more complex than that. Now, having said that, there's a next level. Okay, level two would be the particular race you're doing. What are the most important challenges? So for this race, there's three challenges. Number one, it's 100 miles. I need to be able to stay on my feet for probably 30 hours. Okay, there's a 30-hour limit. I'm going to need that whole 30 hours if I even finish. So I need to be able to stay on my feet for 30 hours and keep moving. That's challenge number one. Number two are the uphills and downhills. This race has a lot of uphills and downhills. I'll go into that in detail even more. Some of them are extremely steep. And I'm a guy from the Midwest, and so for me, this is going to be a gigantic challenge. Okay, and downhills and uphills are two completely different things. You think of them differently. They work your body differently, and you have to train for them differently. And downhills are really, in a sense, the worst. The uphills will slow you down and take a lot of energy and wear you out, but the downhills can destroy you, can destroy your quads. If you've not done steep downhill running for for any period of time. You may not know this, but it's extremely difficult for your quads, and it can just cause an unbelievable amount of pain sometimes. So that's the second challenge. The third challenge is going to be the heat. And I'm not really worrying about that yet because it's winter, but there are parts in this course that are almost surely going to be over 100 degrees. So I'm going to need to deal with that. And I'll do some heat training later. Depends on how hot it is outside, if I can do it outside, or if I can do it, if I'm going to have to go to a sauna or something like that. But that's something I'll deal with closer to the race. So that's the second level, is thinking about the obvious challenges of the race itself. And the third level is kind of the more luxurious stuff, where you're adding more structure to some of your workouts. For example, I can add some speed work. I like adding speed work. I think it's useful. I think running fast helps your slower running go faster. So if you go out and you run hard, then even your low-level slow running becomes a little bit faster. It helps you out. Plus, running hard, running faster, will work your muscles in a different way. It works your muscles in a different way. It works your ligaments and tendons in a different way, and your cardiovascular system in a different way. So it's useful to throw a little bit of that in if you can. Also, there's things like core work, gym work, stuff like that, weightlifting. So these are the types of things that you can add on. But these things are all, to some degree, you can put those in if you can put those in. All right. Now, some people would argue, oh, you've got to do the core work and the gym work. Yeah, it can be very, very useful, and some people need it more or less than others. But you can't, obviously, you can't enter a race because you were in the gym pumping iron. Okay. You're not going to be able to do this race. The number one thing you have to do is run. So that's the three levels of training I am doing. As far as kind of the more detail of a week, here's my general week right now. I run Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday for sure. That's only 4 days a week. On Wednesdays lately, I've been running as well. Sometimes on Wednesdays, I'll do like a spin bike. But for the last couple of months, I've been running. So now I've been really running 5 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. On Monday and Friday, I always swim, and I don't swim much. It's only like 25 minutes. And I do go to the gym about four times a week, and I do core work. I like going to the gym. I'm a former power lifter, so I enjoy going to the gym. I do some weightlifting. I do some core work and stuff like that, some stretching. So I like to throw that in really as much as I can, which, again, comes to about four times a week, maybe five on a good week. So the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday runs are not very long. They're sometimes just 5 miles, maybe six, maybe 7 miles. Tuesday and Thursday, if my legs feel good, that's when I'll do more speed work. And, you know, if it's in my schedule, I do have kind of a schedule. And if I do some speed work, it'll be Tuesday and or Thursday. If my legs don't feel up to it, I don't do it. If they're really lethargic and heavy, then I just go out and do a slower run. But I try to do that in Tuesday, Thursday, if I can. Saturday morning is theoretically my long trail run. I get out in the trails and try to do a long run. Having said that, I've been a bad boy lately, and I've kind of been this way for even the last couple of years. Theoretically, I should go out and run 2 to 4 hours on these Saturday morning runs. I end up often running for maybe only an hour and a half, which is bad, but then I will always go out and run Saturday afternoon if that's the case. So then I'll do another hour and a half in the evening. So then it's 3 hours for the day, something like that. So it doesn't seem quite so bad, but that is one reason I schedule a lot of training races, because then I'm forced to go long. So if I, like David's Trail Endurance Run, I want 8 hours. So that's exactly why I do that. It's much easier for me to run long in a race than it is on my own, because I start getting hungry, and I'm like, why don't I just go eat now? I'll just finish the run later. And that is actually working for me. I'm not saying everyone should do that. Most people probably don't, but it does for me, and my schedule does allow it. On Sunday mornings, I always do a weighted vest hike. So I have an 18-pound weight vest, and I just hike. So far, I've only been doing 5 miles. I have kind of a hilly trail near me, and I'll do about 5 miles. I really need to up that eventually to longer and longer. But I've been doing 5 miles on Sunday morning with my weighted vest, and I hike as fast as I can pretty much. So I'm going up the hills and I'm really pushing it. And obviously the whole point of this is to practice my hiking, because all those uphills in the race, I'll be hiking them. I will not be running them. It's too many. I can't run uphills for over 30 hours. So I'll be hiking all the uphills. So I need to really be able to build more strength and speed in my hiking. So every Sunday morning, a weighted hike, I need to get it to be longer than just this 5 miles. And then again, every Sunday afternoon, I usually do another run out in the roads, another 5, 6, 7 miles in the afternoon. So Saturday and Sunday, I've been doing 2-a-days. And, you know, really, maybe I should just be doing a one each day, but much longer. And hopefully I'll put, you know, be doing some more of that at some point. But like I said, I do a lot of these trail races. In fact, this coming weekend, I'm doing a free race. It's completely free because I'm part of this club, the Ohio River Roadrunners Club. And being in the club, we get to do some races for free. So there's a 14-mile trail race this Saturday. So that'll be nice. That'll be 14 miles. And if I have time, I'll even do a little extra later in the day on Saturday. So that's why I like to do some of these cheap, free races. They're not always cheap and free, but cheap or free races. Okay, so overall, as far as mileage, I'm a pretty low-mileage runner. I am happy if I have a 50-mile week. And that is not that much. Most people who will be doing Western States will be doing between 50 and 100 miles per week. Some will be doing well over 100, the elites. And even some people who are not elite are doing 100 miles a week. I am very low mileage. In fact, before my last 100-mile race, I calculated like the 4 months before the race, I averaged 35 miles a week. That is almost unbelievably low, okay? Just trust me. It is very, very low. People training for half marathons are usually doing that much, okay, for a 13-mile race. So it's very low, but I just kind of know my limits, okay? Now, having said that, I do want to get above 35. I'd really like to average at least 50 miles a week, and I have some weeks that are higher. And, of course, when I do a race, you know, it's a little easier for me to get higher if I do a 50K race, so that week can be a little bit higher. But anyway, I'm just a low mileage runner. So that's why I throw in the swimming and maybe a bike once a week, or, you know, also the weightlifting and stuff like that, because that helps me get more training in without beating up my legs so much. If I run too much, I'll just get hurt. And I know that. So you got to know yourself, man. Okay. Anyway, that's it for our two main topics. Okay, we are 53 minutes into this already. A couple more things. First, our general education segment for the day. So this is the segment that has absolutely nothing to do whatsoever with endurance training, but I like to throw this in. So here's something I read in Discover Magazine recently, and it's one of these things I never thought about, and then as soon as I thought about it, I was embarrassed that I never thought about it. So I'm wondering if you ever thought about this. Probably you did. If you're a medical type, a doctor, you have thought about this. You learned about this. Or if you're just kind of a general curious genius type, you know about this. I never thought about this. I felt kind of stupid. But it's fascinating. And that is, what is your heart doing before you're born? What is your heart doing? Think about what your heart doing after. Heart is doing after you're born. After you're born, your heart takes blood from your body that lacks oxygen, pumps it into your lungs. In the lungs, the blood gets oxygen, goes back into the other side of your heart to be pumped into your body. Well, that's not happening when you're a baby. Your lungs, either they're not developed or they're full of fluid. There's no oxygen in your lungs, okay? And of course, your heart is being built when you are a fetus. And so you're getting all your oxygen from your mother. Is where you're getting it from, and her heart is pumping it through you when you're a fetus. Okay, so you don't really need a heart. You won't need it until you take your first breath. That's when you'll first need a heart as far as the oxygen goes. All right, so because you don't need your lungs, your heart does not pump blood into your lungs when you're a fetus. You actually have a hole in your heart. I never thought about this, and I never knew this, okay? So what happens is blood comes from your body into your right atrium, and there's a hole between your right atrium and left atrium, and the blood just goes right into your left atrium and back out. It completely bypasses the lung. So you're a fetus. The blood says, skip the lungs completely. We'll just make a hole in the heart, and it goes in one side of the heart and out the other side of the heart, basically. So that's what happens when you're a fetus. And interestingly, that's the way it is until you take your very first breath. When you take your very first breath, at that point, you need oxygen from the air at that point. So then blood instantly has to go from your heart into your lungs and back out of your lungs into the other side of your heart. At that point, you cannot have a hole in your heart. So it's obviously you can't have that happen in 1 second, all right? What happens is a flap is created over the hole when you're a fetus. This flap can open up and blood can go through the flap. Okay, go through the hole and open up the flap and go from one side of the heart to the other. But as soon as you take your first breath, that flap gets closed by air pressure. Okay, air pressure closes the flap because there's more air pressure. There's more pressure on the side the flap is on. Can you kind of picture this? And so you still have the hole, but there's a flap over it as soon as you start breathing. And the flap is just held on there by pressure. It's absolutely ingenious. It's like an engineer designed this thing, okay? So when you're born, you still have a hole in your heart. It's just, you know, it's just kind of closed by the flap. And then over time, the hole is closed, and I assume the flap goes away over time. And what can happen, of course, is that some people don't have that hole closed properly, and this can lead to problems because then you're eventually going to have blood leaking from one side to the other. And if a clot comes in, then the clot can go into your lungs and get into your brain, and some bad things can happen. Which is what this article was kind of talking about. But I didn't even understand what was happening to your heart when you were a fetus. So there you go. There's your general education segment for the day. If any of you are doctors or otherwise know about this and I said something wrong, let me know what I said wrong and I'll correct it. Finally, in our Not This Day in History segment, on October 27th, 1990, Anne Trason was defeated in a race. Yes, she lost. Why is this so significant? Well, for one, she's the greatest female ultra runner of all time. Maybe the greatest ultra runner of all time. But almost assuredly the greatest female, absolutely the greatest American female runner, ultra runner of all time. And probably the greatest in the world of all time. For example, among many, many, many races she won Western States 14 times from 1989 to 2003. That's the race I'm doing in California. She won it 14 times, which is ridiculous. No other woman has won it more than, I'm guessing, maybe three or something. I'm not sure. One guy won it 7 times, Scott Jurek. She won it 14 times. No one's really even close to her as far as her accomplishments. She still has American and world records, which have not been topped, I believe, from that era. Anyway, there's a website called Ultra Sign Up, Ultra Sign Up. And on that website, you can look up races. You can look up people's results. If you're going to put on a race, you can put your race up there so people can sign up for the race. It's a pretty cool website. And I noticed that she won every single race she entered from 1985 until that day in 1990. It was her first loss. So 5 years without a loss. On that day, she was defeated by Eleanor Adams. Okay, Eleanor Adams, and the race was the Edmund Fitzgerald 100K in Duluth, Minnesota. By the way, that race ended in 2007 after 26 years. So Eleanor Adams, congratulations. You are actually a very important person to be the first person to beat Anne Trason on Ultra Sign Up. A few notes about this. I should note that Ultra Sign Up doesn't cover every single race. So it is possible someone else did beat Anne Trason before this, and probably Anne Trason lost races when she was, you know, a kid in school and stuff like that. It's just the first one on Ultra Sign Up. Another note, Eleanor Adams, I looked her up, and she's still racing. She signed up for at least 4 races in 2017. Ultra Sign Up will even tell you what races people are signed up for. She signed up for 4 races. She is still going strong, so congratulations to Eleanor Adams for defeating Anne, the great Anne Trason, back in 1990. Also, I did find Eleanor Adams on Facebook, so maybe you should go there and you know, friend her or something and say, hey, you heard about her on Topics in Endurance Sports. And she'd be like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. All right, so that is it for the show. A couple of last things. Number one, I'm hoping to add a call-in line. So the idea is you would call in and leave a comment and that I would play it on the show. And then I will comment on your comment, possibly. And when you call in, you could review a race, you could advertise your race, you could chat about your training, talk about your accomplishments, or maybe brag about a friend's accomplishments. You could suggest topics, comment on an episode, anything your little heart desires. Whatever you like, okay? It could be something I just didn't mention there, but whatever you like, call in. And there will be a limit, maybe a 5-minute limit or something. I have to figure out what the limit is. So I will let you know if and when I get that figured out, what you can call into. Secondly, I'm going to eventually put up I have an Amazon wish list, and I'll eventually put that up. So one way you could support this show, if you don't want to just give money, one way is you could, you know, buy me something off my Amazon wish list. Hey, that'd be cool. And some of the things on the Amazon wish list are books about endurance. And I do plan on doing book reviews. I'm not a professional book reviewer, but I will read a book and just give my opinion, you know, what the book is about and how much I liked it and stuff like that. I've already got a number of books I've read and plan to review. So that is one way you could help out the show, because it does cost money. Speaking of money, thanks to my current donors, people who have donated, including Michael Butler of the Rock and Roll Geek Show, also Jack Johnstone and Dan Shanahan, also my buddy Charlie Driscoll from Davenport, Iowa, and my other buddy, Wade Lindhorst of Boston, Massachusetts. Charlie's a great world-class power lifter, and Wade is an absolutely fantastic swimmer, and I was thinking there are things we could possibly learn from them. You might think we could learn nothing from a power lifter, from a weightlifter. I think you'd be wrong, because there is one place I can think of right away where we overlap, and that is the idea of periodization. Both runners and weightlifters often periodize their training. In other words, they, you know, over a 3-month period, their training training changes in a particular way called periodization. So there might be something to learn from even weightlifters, which is as far from endurance as you can get. I mean, there's really no endurance in weightlifting at all, but I might be able to learn something from them. Nutrition might be another area. Wade Lindhorst, my swimmer buddy, I do have some ideas. I have some questions for some swimmers, so I may have to quiz my buddy Wade about some stuff I'm thinking about swimming. Okay, so that's it for the show. Again, you can find me at runsmith.net. You can find all the information about me, all my social media stuff, my email, and I will post show notes and stuff like that there, and also my coaching services. The final music will be, I'll continue the same song by Andrew Folkin. Thank you again. By the way, if you would like to have some music put on the show, send it to me. Send me an MP3 or something. It should be either an original or something in the public domain. I don't want to violate any copyright issues, but any type of music whatsoever, anything, I will consider putting it on the show as the beginning and the end of the show. So feel free to send me whatever you like. So this is Topics in Endurance Sports signing out. Have a great workout.